So in the end of Chav Tesser and Biz, the new Perek, Perek HaMevi Kadi Yayin, Mimokum Lamokum, so a person wants to bring various jugs of wine from place to place, Lo Yivim Bisal V'Kupa, he should not carry all these bottles of wine in a basket or a box, a large amount. Rashi explains, because you see, look at Rashi, Lo Yivim Bisal V'Kupa, You put three, four bottles in a box or in a basket. Mishum denir kimasid dechol. I says myself. So you're like schlepping. It looks like you're changing storage houses. Baruch Mechayim Mason. Hey, take plum. Get some room here. Put your coffee down here. Comfortable.
I don't know if Ruby last comment
to me. Is it 5 minutes or? Not sure.
Find out. A bit of time.
So again, so Rashi is telling us that the reason why you cannot schlep boxes or
come to Baruch Shabbat.
Good question. We'll see. Tosfos address that. So right now, let's assume it's talking about Yantif. Yeah. Okay. So look at Rashi, the first Rashi. Okay. Good question. The first Rashi says. Hamevi makom lemakom b'sochatchum within the chum o al the erev. The Arab now. So the guy's busy schlepping, a perfect day for him to come, all the wine. He loves wine. So
way too much.
So
stands. Was in Puerto Rico for Pesach. This guy.
He looks like he became Puerto Rican.
It was like yesterday morning at 3 a.m.
Oh wow.
Nice. Welcome back.
Not funny getting back to it.
So the Mishnah tells us again, you can't schlep all these boxes, even though there's a tchum, even within tchum, and even though there's an Erev, you're not allowed, because the next Rashi says it's uv de dechol. Looks like you're schlepping, you're moving into your new house, you're moving into your new wine store, your wine cellar. So too many wines in a box is not allowed. Aval, says the Mishnah, maybe hu al ksefo, you could put on your shoulder, lefanav, or carry it in front of you like that. Because it doesn't look like uv d'chol. That's just like a person's bringing one thing. But once it's like you're doing it in a big box or a big basket, that's already different. V'chein hamolich. And by the way, it says it's not only how you carry, but it's how many you carry. So Rashi says, "Avam mevi al ksefo achas ashtaim demuchach letzach yamt." If you're doing one or two on your shoulder, you're not going to carry five on your shoulder. You do one or two. But if you're carrying a box like that, that's already looks like you're moving into a certain place. Uv d'chol. V'chein ha-molich as a tevin, so to a person who's carrying tevin, some straw or something to burn on Yantif, because on Yantif you're allowed to fuel a fire, you could start a fire, or to feed an animal. So, lo yafshos ha-kupa l'achar, you shouldn't hold the box behind you over your shoulder.
What is kupa?
Kupa is a box.
Kupa?
What?
Yeah. A box of what?
Kupa is a register.
Oh, yeah? Oh, in this context it means a box.
Kupa is a...
I'd go with him. I know you were just in Israel, but a kupa, they say a box, right, Harry? Is that what they say?
Yeah.
So have a box of tevin, of straw. You shouldn't like lean it over your shoulder like that. It looks like you're schlepping it on yantiv. It's uv de dechol. Ava mivia hu biyado. You can carry it in your hand. You could carry it like that, just not over your shoulder. So before we get to the next line, so we had asked, this is talking about Shabbos or yantiv. So Tosfos asks, look at the bottom Tosfos. Really, read just two lines in the bottom Tosfos. Hamevi kada yain lo yivim bital bisal. Tema, I don't understand. Says Tosfos, damrinan b'shavas perak mifanim. There's a perak called mifanim, which talks about moving over certain boxes in a house. And the Tosfos writes, mifanin dal kupos ohei. You're allowed to move over four or five boxes from one corner to the next corner. The kol shken shimot b'yamtif. So if you're allowed to do that on Shabbos, schlep boxes over. So certainly a yantif you're allowed. So why is the Mishnah here say it's usher if the Mishnah in Shabbat says it's mutter? The Tosa says, Yesh lomar, dehasa mari sheinu yachal lohot silachutz. There on Shabbos you can't carry outside. There's no air outside. V'ein rona, so nobody's going to see you. So inside my house, I'm not really moving, I'm not schlepping. I need to make some space over for people to sit, for guests, the Gemara talks about. Achnasa orchim. I need some room, so I move the boxes over to the side. Nobody sees what I'm doing. Nobody thinks I'm moving into a new house. It doesn't look like uv de dechol. Yantif, where you're allowed to carry outside.
Yeah.
There's no issur of carrying outside if it's letzarach yantif. So people are going to see me schlepping boxes out of my house. They're going to think, wait a second, he's moving out of his house. It's uv de dechol. And they're not going to realize he's moving it to make some room for guests. So that's the difference. So asks the Pnei Yeshua, I don't understand. The concept of Maris Ayin, if you remember, Gemara in Beitza tells us earlier, Maris Ayin applies even afilu b'chadei chadarim. From the privacy of my own home, nobody sees me. I still can't take any example. Let's say milk and cheese. I have a par of cheese and put it on my meat, on my hamburger. That's Maris Ayin, assuming they didn't know about it. Let's say a few years ago, probably 50 years ago, that was Maris Ayin. If nobody knew about par of cheese, and I put it on my meat, that's Maris Ayin. Even in my own home, I can't eat it. Afilu b'chadei chadarim. So why here suddenly does Tosa say, oh, since you can't go outside, you're doing it inside, you're allowed to schlep boxes. So writes the Chassam Sofer, he says, no, there's a difference. Or no, the Behuda, I don't remember which one. He says that Maris Ayin, afilu b'chadei chadarim, is only usur when there's a possibility you could do it outside. I could potentially eat this cheeseburger, this fake cheeseburger, outside. Shabbos, I cannot schlep boxes outside because it's usur to carry outside on Shabbos. So it's only chadei chadarim is usur if it's possible to be done also b'chutz. Since it's not possible to do b'chutz at all, it's not b'chlal the iser of maris ayin afilu b'chadei chadarim, and therefore it's mutter to be done in inside the house on Shabbos. Okay, now going back to the Mishnah, umaschilin ba'ramas hateven. A person could begin to take the straw. He has a whole pile of straw in his house. He could begin to take from this pile. You have a whole like a mound of straw. Avalo be'etim shebemuksa. What you cannot take is straw that's found or wood that's found in your backyard. Muksa, Rashi explains to us. So you look at Rashi, two lines down on Daf Lamed Amud Aleph. Avalo be'etim shebemuksa. Rochva she'achorei habatim kriya muksa. The little street they had behind their houses. Al shem she muksa lo'achor. It's sent to the back. It's muksa. People don't think about it. They put things in the backyard. Their backyards were different than our backyards. Our backyards are used for playing, for kids to play. Their backyards were to put junk back there. No one went to the backyards. So any wood that's put in their backyard wasn't really in their mind to be used. People wouldn't go there frequently. So if I have a pile of tevin, a pile of straw, even though I didn't necessarily have in mind to use it, it's still considered in my mind, in my my farm, let's say, which is different than my backyard, or my front yard. I had a pile of straw. It was in mind. I had in mind to use it at some point. But if it was in my backyard, that was completely muksa, and you can't use that on Yantif. Okay, now the Gemara is going to go through some technical things. I'm going to need your help probably on this one, Harry. Probably need a lot of English here. So the Gemara says, Tana, im efshar lishanos mutter. If, let's say, you cannot change the way you're carrying these boxes of wine from place to place, for whatever reason, you can't change it, so then you're allowed to do it the regular way because of Simchas Yomtov. Because we're not going to say don't have wine for Yomtov because you can't carry it. You're allowed to have it. So Gemara goes through a number of ways of doing shinoi. Askin Rava b'mechuzah. Rava made a following takana in mechuzah. Did daru b'duchka. If anybody carried a b'duchka, which holding on the shoulder, I think. Anybody, if, let's say the normal way to carry things was on the shoulder, like some places they do that. So then you have to do a different shinoi. Then you have to do it l'daru b'ragla. You should carry ragla, which is some type of stick, Rashi says. Hold it on a stick, which is a bit of a shinoi.
Pitchfork.
A pitchfork? Oh, yeah, one else. Okay, pitchfork. Okay. You use a pitchfork, which is a shinoi. Now, let's say Lidaru ba'agra. Let's say the normal way was to carry it with agra, which is another way of saying a pitchfork, I guess. Is that a ragla, a pitchfork? That's normal way was with a pitchfork, then daru... daru ba'agra, lidaru ba'agra. What does agra mean?
Pole.
A pole. But let's say lidaru ba'agra, the normal way was to carry it with a pole, lidaru ba'akfa, use some type of... another pole?
Handheld pole.
Okay, a different type of pole. Lidaru ba'akfa, if it's normally used to do a handheld pole, then nifros... Sujalai, then you're supposed to cover it up, and then nobody sees it. Vimlo efshar, if you're not able to cover it up, sharu, you're permitted to carry it in the regular way with a hand-held pole. Damarmar im efshar l'shanos mutter. So again, if you're schlepping something, don't schlep it the normal way. So let's say you're going from a friend to carry a box of wine, don't carry it on your shoulder if that's a normal way that movers that to carry things, and do it carry it some other way. And if it's impossible to do it any other way, cover it up so nobody sees. If that's not possible because you don't have a towel or something or sheet to cover it, then anyway, you're allowed to do it the normal fashion. Okay, Gemara says now, Amr Le'i Rav Nachanan Barav Rav Le'i Rav Ashi. Amr Rabbanon Kama De'efshar L'Shinui Mishaninan B'Yom Tova. As much as possible, you're supposed to do as much as a Shinui as you possibly can on Yom Tov. So the Gemara says, "V'ha honey nashi de kamalian chatzvayu maya b'yom atava." These women who go out and draw water on Yantif, v'lo kamishaininen They don't do any shune when they schlep the pails of water from back and forth from the well. They don't do any shune. They carry it, let's say, on their heads or their shoulders, whatever the normal way was to carry. And no one says a thing to them. So we should tell them, do a shinoi. So Amar Lei, Mishum Delo Efshar, the reason why they don't do a shinoi and the reason why we don't say anything is because there's no real way to do a shinoi with the pail of water. Heichel Yavid, how should they do it? Dimalya Bechatzva Rabba. So let's say you fill up the water a lot. Timle Bechatzva Zuta. So let's say they normally carry in a lot of water, they should fill up just a little bit. Kamafshi Behulucha. They have to go back and forth many, many times on Yantif. If they have to get, let's say, 2 quarts of water, but they only allow them to do 1 quart, so we have to go back and forth twice, and that's going to be tircha on Yantif. We don't want them doing extra tircha. So we don't want them doing that. Dimalya Bechatzva Zute. Let's say we tell them, let's say normally they fill it up with a small pail, so maybe we should tell them, Timle Bechatzva Rabba, fill up with a large pail. Now that should be the shinoi. Well then, Kamafshi B'masu, then you're telling them to do an extra load, and that's going to be also a extra tircha that's not normally done in Yantif. So it can't be in terms of the amounts, because either way the amount is going to create more tircha than normal. And we don't want to create more tircha, we just want to create a shinoi. So the Gemara said, well, maybe what we could do is, tichse b'nichsama. Maybe you should cover it up with a nichsama, some type of wooden eitz.
A wooden lid.
So you cover it up with a wooden lid, and that will be a shinoi. Gemara says, zimnin d'nafil might fall, v'asa lasuyid, and you might end up carrying it. So I guess the problem of carrying it is that you're only allowed to carry the pail of water because the water is the tzarach yantif. When carrying outside on yantif, without a eruv, you're only allowed to carry when it's the tzarach yantif, or a tzarach of some sort, tzarach yantif. But I guess if the lid falls out and you just start slapping the lid on its own, that lid is not tzarach yantif anymore. And you end up carrying something that's unnecessary. So, for example, on yantif, this past yantif, my brother-in-law was, he wanted to push the stroller, walk with his wife, go for a little walk up and down with the child. But in the stroller bottom, there is a penny. So he doesn't hold, but he holds the air, his wife does, but he doesn't. He tries not to carry outside. So in Yantif, he's only allowed to carry outside when it's Sarach Yantif. But then there's a penny in the bottom of the stroller. So it wasn't a problem, Muksa. You could move a penny if it's Lachayad. But you can't carry, not Muksa, you can't carry outside something that's unnecessary. He wasn't sure what the halacha was. If you're allowed to push it, because there's something extra there that's not needed for Sarach Yantif.
I don't get it. If you have a penny in your stroller, and it's on the bottom of it, you just kick it from below, and it comes out.
Oh, no, you can. You could kick it out, and that would be fine.
Day.
Exactly. You could certainly do that. But let's say... No, so I guess it was the way it was, it's probably hard to kick it out of there.
It's Chabadnik.
It's Chabadnik?
No, it's Chabadnik.
No.
Chabadnik's
don't want
to lose money, what does
that mean? Machma. Oh, yeah?
Okay.
With any stroller, Rebbe. No, seriously, any stroller, though, you put upside down, and it comes, whatever's in there comes out.
I guess. Yeah. Well, I wonder. You know, but if you have to flip it upside down, that's using your hand. That wouldn't be considered a shinoi necessarily.
Your foot.
I wonder if you could kick it out.
You may not be happy with.
Either. So that, I'm just trying to show that's another case. I guess that might be a good eitzah to get it out of there. But either way, carrying on yantif is only things that are necessary. Things that are unnecessary, like this lid.
If there was a tuft of dirt, uh-huh. I mean, you draw the line and say, wait a second, you know, I'm pushing a stroller here and there's little nothing.
Right. So I guess when it comes to Hilchos Shabbos, the Mishnah talk about it has to be something significant, a certain amount. So depending on what you're carrying, you have to be carrying something that's worth something. I guess a penny's not worth much, but it's still something. Dirt is not significant enough. It's too insignificant, I guess. I'm not sure exactly where you draw the line. But one could also question, let's say you have some type of toys underneath the stroller, or you have one of those like rain covers, and it's not raining outside, so that would also be considered unnecessary, unless you say, well, it might rain along the way, so if it rains, you want to cover your child, so you're allowed to carry it.
Don't we say that in general, those things, you have to wear it then? You can't just carry it?
Right, but this is different because Yantif, you are allowed to carry on Yantif when it's necessary for Yantif. When you can't carry it at all, the only hat there is to wear it. Yantif, you can carry it when it's needed for it. Okay, so back to the Gemara now.
So did Gemara, you carry it?
What?
So did he carry it?
So he asked his father to carry it outside for him. But okay. So,
yeah, so 2 day Yantif is good. You could have a
Jew do it, yeah.
Driving.
It's crazy.
It's weird.
So then the Gemara says, so that's why, you know, putting a lid on it would be problematic, because if it falls out, it might lead to carrying a Yantif. So Gemara says, maybe takterei. Maybe you should tie it on. Tie the lid. So if it falls off, it's still hanging onto the pail and not a big deal. Zimnim de mafsik. Maybe the string is going to snap. V'asa l'miktere, and you're going to come to tie, which is a problem on Yontif, of course. Mar said, well, maybe tifros sudra alayo, maybe place a sheet, a covering on top of the pail. Mar says, that's not so good, because zimnin dimatmish bimaya, it's going to get drenched or waterlogged. V'asli deschitere, you end up squeezing out the cloth, and which is the schit itself, is a problem. Therefore, there's no possible shinoi, and that's why the women are able to carry the pails in the normal fashion. Amalei Rava bar Rav Chanin la'abai Tanan. The Mishnah tells us. The Mishnah later on in Beta. This is Daf Lam Levav. In 6 days from now, we'll get to this. Mirat Hashem. Ein metapchin. You don't some type of clapping. Did Rashi explain metapchin is a vein mesapkin is clapping. How do they say metapchin is clapping and mesapkin is clapping?
Hands.
Your thighs, okay. Clapping on your thighs like that and clapping with your hands. Those two things are not allowed. Ve'en meraktin, you can't dance either on Yontif. So Rashi explains, what's the reason why you can't do anything clapping or dancing on Yontif?
Doing it all over the place. In shul.
So look at Rashi. So Rashi says, ein metapchin mishum shir or mishum eva. You're not allowed to do this because of music, you can't do this because of Eva Velas, they used to do this type of clapping. The women used to sing and clap. You can't do anything on Yontif.
Svari Shul still do this.
Svari Shul still what?
Some Persian shuls.
They do what?
They do a lot of this.
Clapping and stuff?
Yeah. All the shuls do that.
No. They do a little more elaborate.
You can't clap on a lot of shuls.
Yeah.
What?
Most shuls you can't.
A lot of lifters.
Why? Here you people clap.
Here.
Here. Long Island, they clap.
I mean, wherever they're singing, they're clapping automatically.
No. The more lifters you go, the less simcha you see.
From the Atzvot come the simcha.
Tanya.
They just have a lot of Atzvos. They just have a lot of Atzvos.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say this, it goes away.
So they're happy that they have some kind of feeling.
And they open up the sefer, and you remember singing Lechadodi. That's what they do.
Okay, we'll get to the source of this, whether one can clap.
Seriously, people shoes don't clap.
Let's backtrack. The Mishnah says...
I want to know now.
No, we are. So the Mishnah says you can't clap. Mishnah, you can't clap, you can't dance on Yontif. Why not?
The Mishnah, it's a Mishnah.
The Mishnah. The reason is because, look at Rashi, look at Tosos. Tosos says, Ein metapchen. That Tosos. Perisha Kuntris, why not? Rashi says, Mishum Shira, Mishum Evel. You can't, for singing or Avelis. Unclear what that means. But Lo Nihira Tosa says, the typically the Asa Mishum Tsar. It should be Asa because of Tsar. Okay, not sure what he means by that either. But look at the last line he says, Mifar Shema Yisakin Kli Shir. The Gemara itself tells us later on, because you might come to fix or make a Kli. If I start clapping and start dancing, I'm going to wait a second. Let's get a guitar here. Let's bring the guitar. Let's fix the guitar. Or let's fix the piano. Let's fix the drums. Because that might lead to one thing, to fixing things, which is a problem of Bona, Binyan, or Metakin Mana. You're not allowed to clap. It's so far-fetched. We don't know how to fix
it. Not so far-fetched, Rabbi. When I didn't know about it, I went to one of my cousins, bar mitzvah, a conservative shul. They bust out the piano, a little bit of banjing.
Right.
But that's how it starts. What do you mean?
No, it's not how it starts.
You disagree with the Tosos?
I disagree with
the Tosos. So we'll get the Tosos. Tosos is going to address Bizman HaZeh in just a second. So Gemara says now.
So we're not keeping halacha. That's what you say.
No, wait. Slow down.
That's what a lot of people were saying.
So fine. We'll get back to the next Tosef in just a second. So right now the Mishnah tells us you can't clap and you can't dance on Yontif. Now says the Gemara. V'ha'inna nowadays the kachazina and the avdin halchi. We go to Eish Kodesh Friday night and we see people are singing, people are dancing here. But nobody says anything. They actually think it's mutter to do. So Gemara says, wait a second. Amar Lei, before we get to the answer, Ultamech, according to you, Ha Damar Rava, Rava used to say, or says, Lo Lesev Inish Apuma Delechia, Dilma Miganda Lechevitz Vasilisuye. A person should not sit below the Lechi. Now, what a Lechi is in a Mavoy, in an alleyway, you can't carry in an alleyway, but if you have a Lechi, a little wooden stick along the side, you're allowed to carry it. Now, let's say I sat underneath like the Lechi, right below it, or next to it. So I shouldn't be able to carry because I might end up walking outside the mavor. I shouldn't get too close. I shouldn't go below it. So Gemara says, you shouldn't stand on the lechi, only within the lechi. Again, here's the mavor. There's a lechi here. The Rishis Rabbim is outside there. The lechi there, I shouldn't be able to stand under the lechi because I might step outside. I have to step within the lechi. So Gemara says, so that's a very valid concern. However, v'ha nashi, honey nashi, these women, the shaklin chatzvayu, v'azlin v'yasin apuma dimaval. these women who would collect water would sit underneath the mavoi right next to lechi. Lo amrin lo mita. We don't say a thing to them.
What about all the other cases that he carried the wine or whatever? He won't sit underneath the lechi, and he will continue.
No. This particular case of the women. Apparently, the women. I don't know why. When they carry the pails, they'd sit below the lechi, and no one would say a thing to them. Right below lechi, where if they just stepped outside, they'd be carrying.
They're very obedient. That's why.
Well, it could be the very obedient, maybe. Or the answer Gemara tells us is, "Elahanach lehem liyisrael." So we let them be, because mutav shehu shogin v'hal yu mizedim. We'd rather them be shogin than mazed. Meaning. Better not to tell them, because if we tell them, they're not going to listen. So if we tell them, now they know what they're doing is wrong, and they're going to do it anyways, they'd be amazed. That's much worse than doing b'shogeg. Better not to say a thing to them. Hachanami, hanach lem Yisrael, mutav shi shogin v'al yumezedim. So those who clap their hand in Eish Kodesh Friday night, better not to tell them, better that the shogin be amazed. Ah, I'm saying something bad at Eish Kodesh, chas v'shalom. Look at Tosos now.
Not a recording at least.
And certainly not in Rav Weinberger's office. So look at Tosos now. Tanan aim atop convein miraktin. Tosa says, you don't clap and you don't dance. Perish Rashi, Shemi Sakinkli, Shir. Umihul lididan, according to us, Shari, it's permitted. Here in Eish Kodesh, says Tosos, one's permitted to do this. The dafka b'yemehen, only in those days, Sheyhu bikin lasos kli shir, shaykh lemigzar. They were buckies and making shit. Do you know how to make a guitar? Do you know how to fix a drum? Do you make fix a piano? I don't know how to do that.
Everybody knew at the time.
Back then, apparently, yeah. Everybody knew how. They didn't have to go shopping. They made their... If they wanted a piano, they made themselves a piano. I'm not sure piano existed back then. What?
Yeah, Baal
Melacha
at the time didn't know how to do it.
Yeah. Avad L'didan, Einan U'bekin L'asos Klishir L'Shach. The professionals know how, the few. But most people don't know how. And therefore, if I clap, if I dance, it's not going to lead anybody to start fixing a piano to fix a guitar on Yom Tov or Shabbos.
So
L'Halacha L'Maisa is a little complicated. The Ramah says one should clap, one can clap and stuff, but you shouldn't do it on beat. You could clap, but don't do it so much on beat. That's
be tone deaf, basically.
Right, exactly. A little awkward, like a little awkward clapping in the hand. Like,
I always thought those people were just tone deaf. Now you're telling me that they're tone deaf.
Right, exactly.
So
people
who just do the shinoi.
Exactly. Shinoi works also with your left hand. So there's certainly room to do these things. So again,
do you think the Baal Shem Tov really was paying attention if he clapped, you know, this way or not? Honestly.
No way. I have no idea.
He was clapping with such simcha.
I have no idea.
Clapping like this. Like this, so you see, like YouTube guys, there's no way.
Okay. Now there is a shaila, you know, on the Sifrei Torah they have on the crown, they have a little bell sometimes, and the bell is a mamash klishir. So is that allowed? So some say you can't have them on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Ah, but all the shuls have it. What do you mean? So Mishabu already writes it's permitted because you're not doing it for the music. You're doing it just for people for kavod. Exactly, it's all about kavod.
Same way with the Kohanim with the bells.
He brings a ride from the Kohen. Exactly. It's not to music. It's to let people know that the Sefer Torah or the Kohen Gadol is coming. Nothing to do with the music. It happens to be making music. Not even music. It makes sound. And therefore, the... Exactly.
So, what's the halacha?
So, the halacha, again, most... The minhag is...
אבל בכל זאת, דברי סופרים זה כמו מדאורייתא.
אז עובדה בשבתות מוחאים כפיים.
נכון, זה העניין, והוא אומר שכתוב שעשו, והוא אומר שעשו.
אצל החסידים זה מוחאים.
אז לחסידים,
המקר.
Exactly.
Carry a water bucket at the same time.
It's wine in there, there's no water in there.
Now,
what's that like?
I tell you,
the
lacha is, the litvash follow the Ramah usually, and then they say that one should only do it b'shinoi, the left hand, like, instead of doing this way, if I'm ready, okay. Do it like this way, or do it backwards.
And other the Ramah, who
is sick. So I'm not sure based on who, I don't know the whole sugya, but the Hasidim, they have who to rely on. Tosus himself already says it's mutter, it's not a concern. So there are many Rishonim who say it's permitted.
בארבעי בתי כנסת מוחאים כפיים.
חשבתי בכולם.
לא בכולם. אצל המשנגדים. יש כל מיני מנהגים אצל המשנגדים.
No one ever learned Tanya clapping it like that.
So I'll tell you one other thing is, how are you able to, once there's a gezerah, you can't just knock off a gezerah just like that. So the Beis Yosef writes that just like my megulim is also to have water that's left out overnight. That's the halacha in Gemara. We're not concerned with that anymore. Because the reason why you can't have my megulim is because there's a concern a snake may have came by, left some venom, now it's dangerous. Yeah. We don't have snakes anymore. So just like the water is permitted to have overnight, so too the making of the music is permitted. So the Achron asked, what do you mean? Just because a gzera doesn't make sense, we can get rid of it? We have a halacha. You can't just get rid of gzeras. We have many gzeras that still exist, even though the reason doesn't exist. So the classic example is brought down by the Achronim. When the Chacham made a gzera and they told you the reason of the gzera, the reason was built into the gzera, then when the reason no longer applies, and the gzera completely gets removed. So therefore, they told us, why is my megulim usher? Because of snakes. So once there are no more snakes, then the water, my megulim, is permitted. But when the gzera does not tell us the reason why, we try to figure out the reason, but the tam is not given, then you can never remove the gzera. The gzera is there forever. So it comes to making clapping, the Gemara tells us the reason, because it might lead to making fixing a klishir, and since we're not bekim anymore, that's why you can remove the gzera of clapping. So again, there's a lot of room to say, one is allowed to clap, one's allowed to dance. I even think a lot of litvish these days are also starting to give in a little more, also in terms of clapping and whatnot. But, okay.
Sfaradim,
it's they tie it for me. It's one big song, the whole entire
time. They sing anyways all the time. And they would be clapping all day.
Okay. Fine. So up to the Gemara now, around 10 lines from the bottom of Lamed Amud Aleph, says the Gemara. Oh, no, I skipped. I'm sorry. No, we're higher up. We got to go. Okay.
Better fly.
Yeah, where are we? Hani Mili, B'derabanan. This only applies by Dine D'Rabanan. We allow them to be shogigan. About B'deraisa law? We don't let them violate the Issa D'Raisa. Lo, really? Not true? Gemara says, no. Lo shna B'deraisa, lo shna B'derabanan. Even on D'Raisas, we rather than be shogin, V'lo mezidim. Lo amina lo mida. We don't say a thing to them. How do we know? Even D'Raisas, we don't say a thing. We rather than be shogin. D'ha tosefes yom akipurim D'Raisa. Adding on to Yom Kippur, starting Yom Kippur earlier, Tosefes Yom HaKippurim is a din deraisa. V'achlu v'shasu, and the women would drink ad shechashecha, eat up until dark. V'al amrina lo amrina lo mida. We don't say a thing to them. We let them violate the Issa deraisa of Tosefes Yom HaKippurim.
Read it somewhere.
Right.
The same exact thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this brought down the Ramah brings this. We got Tosefes Yom Kippur we discussed elsewhere, right? Okay. Okay, now, halacha, there are many, the Ritva writes and others say that nowadays, that even they take the opposite extreme. Even though the Gemara says you don't say anything to them, derabanan nor deraisas, Ritva says the opposite. Nowadays, where Eich Nafla Gibur, the Doros fell and we've gotten much further lower, we have to create stronger siyagim, the Torah. Even on a derabanan, you're supposed to say something, says the Ritva. Even when they violate their bond, we have to strengthen ourselves, strengthen the Klal Yisrael. Okay. That's what Gemara says now. Umaschilin baramin mehatevin. So they begin when you have a little pile of straw, you're allowed to take from that straw yantif to use it to fuel the fire or perhaps to feed your animal. Amar of Kana Zosameris comes to teach us that maschilin beotzer tchila. If you have a storage house, you're allowed to start taking from it on yantif. Even though perhaps you had it in mind to keep it for a long time, and it wasn't so much in your das to use it for Yom Tif, you're allowed to take it on Yom Tif. It's not considered a muksa. So, Mani, who's the author of this? Rabbi Shimon, he did last day muksa. Must be Rabbi Shimon, he doesn't hold the muksa. So, of course, you could take it. Even though I didn't have it in mind to use it, I put it away in my long-term storage house, it's okay because we don't hold a muksa. I said, wait a second, you tell me Rabbi Shimon, who doesn't hold a muksa, authored our Mishnah? Ema Seifa, look at the end of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Ava lo be'etim shebemuksa. One cannot use the muksa. They found the wood in the back of the house. So we do hold the muksa. Asin the Rabbi Yehuda to ish the muksa. Now the end says it is Rabbi Yehuda. We do hold the muksa. So the Mishnah is a stira. First half doesn't hold the muksa. Second half does hold the muksa. Answers the Gemara, Hacha be'arazi v'ashuchi askinan. We're talking about particular types of wood. Cedar wood. And what's asuchi? What type of wood is that? Okay, didn't know trees had males and females. Okay, so different types of cedar. I know that the Gemara tells us in Sukkah that I think there are 10 types of cedar trees. Okay, so these two types of trees, askinon demuksa machmas cheson kis, they're muksa because they're so expensive. V'afil Rabbi Shimon modem. Even though in general Rabbi Shimon does not hold a muksa, when it comes to something that's very expensive, let's say a butcher knife, they say very expensive, handle well, or a surgeon's tools, which are very delicate, we don't want to break them, that's machmas chesed and kiss, a concern you might ruin it. So therefore, even Rabbi Shimon thinks that will be such a case, he agrees as muksa. So really, the Mishnah doesn't hold a muksa, but the type of wood that's found in the backyard, that's a special, the higher-end wood, that's muksa. No one wants to touch that. Nobody wants to use that for firewood. That's why it's muksa, even according to Rabbi Shimon. Now, ikdamasinla, there are others who teach it as seifa, as follows. Avalo be'etzim sheva muksa. You're not allowed to use the wood that's found in the back of your house. Amar of Kana, Zosimeris, this comes to teach me. You cannot take from a storage house. When something is placed away in a storage house for long term, you can't use it because it's muksa. Why? Ema Resha, sorry, Mani, who's the author of that line in the Mishnah? Rabbi Yehuda, he the Islam muksa. Must be Rabbi Yehuda who holds the muksa. Ema Resha, but look at the Resha of the Mishnah, which says, Maschilin Baramas Hateven, one can begin to take from the straw, the pile of straw. Asin Rabbi Shimon de Lesi muksa, must be Rabbi Shimon who does not hold a muksa. So again, the same steer as we said before, just presented differently. Answers the Gemara, Hasim b'tavni sarya, tavni sarya, there tavni sarya. Now tavni sarya, Rashi says, is talking about nirkavu masriach, it's straw that really went bad. It's not really raw for feeding animals, and therefore it's set aside for etim. So the stuff in the back of the house, nobody intends on ever using it, I guess, because it's so gross. Exactly, no one's going to feed it to the animal. It's considered muksa. Gemara says, Tav Nasaria Hachaz Latina. Mar said, wait a second, but there is a purpose. It's fit for making cement. So nobody completely puts it as muksa. Mar says, no, Deisbe Kotim, it has thorns and you're not able to mix it as cement well, so it really has no purpose, and that's why it's considered muksa, even according to Rabbi Shimon. Okay. New Mishnah, Laman Amun Beit. Now, this is a very important, a well known mission in Beit. Probably one of the most famous dapim of Beit, Daf Laman Amun Beit. Might remember this from the Gemara in Sukkah. The Gemara tells us, the Mishnah tells us, Ein notlin eitim min ha-sukkah, ela min ha-samachlo. So Rashi tells us, we're not talking about Sukkahs right now. We're talking about Pesach or Shavuos. You're sitting outside in a nice little hut. It's nice outside, so you sit in some shade under a little canopy. So now your sukkah is made of wood. You can't remove the pieces of wood from your sukkah because it's going to be a problem of sira. You're ruining an ohel, a tent. You can't break a tent on yantiv. It's destruction. It's a mlach of soser. So you can only take it if it's next to it. But not that if you take it, it falls apart. That's usher. If it's next to it on the outside, lying against it, that is permitted. So says the Gemara, Maishna min asukkah deloka. Why can't you take it from the sukkah? Dekasasir ahalam. Because you're breaking the oil. You're destroying it. That's a problem. It's irmalacha. Ahalam asa min asamachla nami kasasir ahalam. When you take from the side of it, the wall, samachla, that's also going to be destroying the ohel. So what's the difference whether or not you're taking it from the actual sukkah or that which is samach, which is next to it? It's also going to cause the whole sukkah to fall down. The Gemara says, Amar of Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, my samach, what does samach mean? Samach ledefanos, next to the walls. So it's not actually part of it, it's next to the walls. And Rashi explained, it wasn't woven within the walls. They had this wood that was woven together. Now, the etzim there, samachlo, are not part of the wall. They're just next to the wall. So if I remove the wall, the wood next to it, it's not going to destroy the walls, and that's why that's permitted. Rav Menashe Amar, afilu tema b'she'in samachlo defanos, even if you're talking about if it's not next to the walls, kitan yahi be'osaraisa. So we're talking about, Rashi says, we're talking about the piece of wood that go on the schach. So Rashi explained, what happened was, a person put some bundles of wood on top of the schach. So one would think, you can't remove it from the schach, because by removing the schach, you're removing the oil, you're breaking the tent, that's a problem. No, Belsaraisa were saying, right, we're talking about Belsaraisa, we're saying, it's these bundles that I left there, the fact that I never untied them, I left them in the bundle, told me I never intended on using it as part of the schach. It was never bottled to the schach. So therefore I could remove those from the top of the schach, and it's not considered destroying.
Why put that to begin with?
Guy wanted to dry. There's a little guy, a little left out in the rain, moist. He wanted to dry, get the heat, the sun, to place on top of his schach to get some good heat. Says the Gemara further. Tani Rabbi Yechia Bar Yosef Kamei Rabbi Yochanan. Ain nolin etim in a sukkah elam in a samach la. You can only take the wood that's adjacent to the sukkah. And Rabbi Shimon Matir, Rabbi Shimon permitted you to take it from anywhere on the anywhere connected to the sukkah, even from the schach. And Vishavin, they're both in agreement. B'sukkos hachag b'chag shasur. On Sukkos itself, though, then it's asur to take it. V'im hisna alav hakol lefi tana. But if you make a tanai, now the reason why you can't take it, right, Gemara is going to explain, on Sukkos itself, you can't take it because it's muksa machmas mitzvah. You can't move it because of mitzvah. But if you make a tanai, you can. You can make it, exactly, make a tanai before Yom Tov that I'm going to able to take from my sukkah, then you're allowed to take it even from on Sukkos itself. So Gemara is going to explain each of these opinions. Rabbi Shimon Matir, does Rabbi Shimon really allow you to take the wood that's on part of the schach? On Shavuos and Pesach, I have a nice little canopy. I could take off the tent, the top covering, that's ruining my ohel. The ha-kasasa ala, I'm destroying the ohel, that's an isa deraisa. We're talking about the sukkah completely collapsed. Fell. It's all sticks and stones now. So then he permits you to take it. Why could you take it? It's not soser because it already is destroyed. So Gemara explains, Rabbi Shimon Latame, the Lesley Muksa, as we, at this point we should know, when we make a scene of Maseches Beitza, we should learn at least one thing, that Rabbi Yehuda holds a Muksa, Rabbi Shimon does not hold a Muksa. That's one cloud which we saw numerous times, and you're going to see many, many more times, that's the Rabbi Yehuda holds a Muksa, Rabbi Shimon does not hold a Muksa. So Rabbi Shimon goes according to his reasoning, he doesn't hold a Muksa. So even though the Muksa, the Sukkah was a Sukkah today, and it just crashed and there's nothing, we don't say it's Muksa, and it's permitted. Titania, how do we see that Rabbi Shimon does not hold a muksa? Moser Hashemen, Shibaner, you had a candle that was lit, and then it went out, you have some leftover oil. Ushibakaro, or if it's in a plate, you use the plate which to light the candles, and the candle went out, the fire went out, leftover oil, it's asur according to Rabbi Huda, and Rabbi Shimon Mater, Rabbi Shimon permits it, because Rabbi Shimon says, even though I had in mind that the oil was going to be burnt out, I didn't anticipate it going out, it's still considered okay because he doesn't hold a muksa. Mara says, could you really compare the cases of leftover oil to a sukkah that collapsed? Midami, are they really similar? When it comes to the candle, a person's going, he's waiting. He knows the candle is eventually going to go out, and he's anticipating that there's going to be leftover oil. So since the person can anticipate that, he could foresee that coming, it's not muksa. It's in his mind. So that's why Rabbi Shimon permits you to use the leftover oil. A person's going to wait. I can't wait till my sukkah collapses. Obviously, a person doesn't think that way. So when it collapses, that was suddenly caught him by surprise, and it should be considered muksa, even according to Rabbi Shimon. So Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak kacha b'sukkah ru'a askinan. It was talking about a very weak, unstable sukkah that he was able to foresee it breaking. So even according to Rabbi Shimon, he anticipated it coming. And that's why the collapsed sukkah will not be a problem, according to Rabbi Shimon. Okay. Says the Gemara further now. Oh, okay. We still have some time. Shavin b'sukkah hachag b'chag shehi asura b'mhisna aleha kol lefitano. So the halacha is that on sukkahs, you're not allowed to take any part of the sukkah, even if it won't fall down. But if you make a tanai, the tanai will work. Umim. What? Wednesday, Thursday. So asks the Gemara, "Mi mahani ba tanai? Does the tanai really work on Sukkos?" V'hamer Rav Sheshes, Mishum Rabbi Kiva taught us, "Minayin la'atzei sukkah she'asurin kol shiva." How do I know that the wood of sukkah, we'll get to in a second what part of the sukkah, at least the schach, how do I know the schach is asur all 7 days of Sukkos? Shinemar chag asukos shivas yomim lashem. The sukkah itself, all 7 days, is Lashem, is Hekdesh, Lashem. V'tanya Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira Omer, minayin shekashem shechal shem shemayim al ha-chagiga, kachal shem shemayim al sukkah. Just like a chagiga, a carbon chagiga is Hekdesh, so too a sukkah is Hekdesh. How do I know? Tamal Omer, chag ha-sukkah shivas yomim Lashem, has to be for Hashem, al chag Lashem, just like the chag, the chagiga, is Hekdesh for Hashem, af sukkah Lashem. So this is the pasuk that we see, sukkah has a chal Hekdesh on it. Now, there's a machlokas Rishonim. What part of the sukkah is hektish? So, according to the Rambam, Rambam says that only it's at the. Wait, the Rambam says which way again? But Rambam says both the schach and the walls are hektish. Rabbi Natan says only the schach is hektish, not the walls. So everybody agrees the schach is hektish. The question is whether the walls are or not. What's a machlokas? Remember from sukkah, we discussed a little bit, what's the nature, what's the definition of a sukkah? Many shom say the sukkah is defined by the schach, that's the ikker. The walls are simply there to hold up the schach, but the ikker is the schach. Other Shomim felt, no, the entire Tzchach was to be completely surrounded by all sides. So the Tzchach might be the Iker, but the walls also contribute to you being surrounded, and also Hekdesh is Tzchal on those as well. So that's what the Machlokes is based on. Okay, now the Gemara says further, Omar Rav, so we already established that there's a Shem Hekdesh on a Sukkah. So now we see that's the question. How could a Tanai work? We said before, if I make a Tanai, it's going to work in the Sukkah. I can make a Tanai that I want to take the wood on Chol Moed Sukkahs. But how should that work? If it's Hekdesh, so a Tanai shouldn't work to undo Hekdesh. Says the Gemara, Amar of Menashe, Berei Dirava, Seifa, Asin L'Sukkah De'ama, Aval Sukkah De'mitzah, Lam Hani B'Tanai. You're right. The Mishnah, that above, which said a Tanai work, that wasn't talking about Tanai on Sukkahs. Yeah. That is Tanai on Pesach, a Tanai on Shavuos. There's no Hekdesh on those Sukkahs. I build a hut. But on Sukkahs, where there's a Chal Shem Shemayim, a Tekdesh, Ein Hachanami, a Tanai does not work on a Sukkah of Sukkahs. The Gemara says, wait a second, you're telling me a Tanai does not work? The Sukkah, the Mitzvah, lo? A Sukkah of the Mitzvah of Sukkahs, does not, a Tanai does not work. V'hatani, the Braisa tells me, Schacho kehilchasam. I make a good Schach, a halachically appropriate Schach, for my Sukkah on Sukkahs. V'atar b'kramim, I decorate it with kramim, sadinin, hamsuyarim, different types of sheets and pictures and art. The tall be'agozim, eshkedim, efrasakim, rimonim, I hang nuts and fruit, parchili anavim, yenos, shemanim, saltos, atros, shebalim, all types of foods I hang as decoration from the ceiling or from the walls. Also, this topic, behen, admo to yom tefa'achon shachag, I cannot, this topic, I cannot eat the food. I can't just rip off the apple, I can't rip off the grape and eat it on Sukkahs. However, im hisna aleim hakol lefitanai, if I want to make a Tanai, the Tanai works, and I can make a Tanai on the food in order to eat the food. So this is part of the question. So we see from here, a Tanai does work on the Sukkah. We said before, a Tanai does not work for a Sukkah on Sukkahs. Here we say, Tanai does work. By the Rav of Dami Tavaya, they both say, Bo'omer, when you say, Eini Boda Mehem Ko Ben Hashmashos, Tilochala Kedusha Alayo. You're right. A Tanai will work if you say the following way. I am not separating from it the entire Bein HaShemashos. As we said a few days ago, Bein HaShemashos is the time period when Muksa becomes established. If during Bein HaShemashos it's Muksa for the entire day of Sukkahs. If it's not Muksa during Bein HaShemashos, it's Mutter. So if I say, I'm not being bold, I'm not separating it, it's not Muksa for Bein HaShemashos, I might eat from the fruit on Yontif during the entire Bein HaShemashos, it's not Muksa the rest of Yontif. Aval Atzi Sukkah, when it comes to the wood, the schach and the defanos, the chala kedusha alayu, it's gotzei l'shiva. That I can't make a tanai on. Once it's chal sukkis, it's muksa the entire 7 days. Okay, so the Gemara said, wait, I want to do one toast before you go weiter. So we have time for the toast, I think, right? Actually, we won't do the toast, it's fine. So the Gemara, maishna meha. Why is this different to Itamar? Hifri Shiva Esrogim L'Shiva Hayamim. We said in the Gemara Sukkah, I could buy myself 7 Esrogim. It's a bit expensive, but $700 I'm spending on Esrogim. And I could use one Esrog per day. And on that says, Amar of Rav, Kol Achas V'Achas Yotzeba V'Ochlo L'Alter. Rav says, I could take the Esrog from day one, shake it with a lulav, eat it. Next day, take the other Esrog, shake it, and eat it. So how is it? No, our esrogim are not edible. The Yemenite esrogim are edible, supposedly. Our esrogim, we have to make it into jam, mash it, and right. So Gemara says the Rav Asi Amar Kolachas Yotzei Bava Ochlo L'Machar. He says you can't eat it today. You have to wait till tomorrow. First opinion says you can eat it right away. Second opinion says you have to wait till tomorrow. Either way, why don't we say Muksa Machmas Mitzvah? Why don't we say by Sukkah we said once it's Muksa Erev. Ben Shmashos of Erev Yomtif, it's Aser the entire 7 day period. Esog should be the same halacha. Once Sukkot begins, it should be Aser, it should be Muksa Machmas Mitzvah, and I shouldn't be able to eat it the rest of the 7 days. Why is Esog different than that of the Sukkah? Answers the Gemara, Hosam, when it comes to Esog, the Mifsaki Leilos Miyamim, Kuchad Vachad Yoma Mitzvah Be'afe Nafshehu. Since Lulav, there's no mitzvah of Esog at nighttime, it's only during the daytime, so each day is viewed as an independent day, Yom Bifnei Atzmo. So once I complete my mitzvah's over, it's no longer muksa machmas mitzvah. But however, when it comes to the sukkah, there's no interruptions at nights. Miyamim. Kula yom achada yom arichte damim. Because there's a mitzvah to eat during the daytime, and there's a mitzvah to eat in the nighttime in the sukkah. So the sukkah is viewed as one continuous seven-day mitzvah. And therefore, there's no day where the mitzvah is not there, so therefore it's muktzah in the beginning, it's mitzvah forever. As opposed to esrog, each night is a break, and therefore you can eat it after you've completed the mitzvah of that day. Okay, shkoyach. Everyone should have a good day.